Okay, this is a scoop interview pre-election, and it's with the Right Honourable Winston Peters. Now, I just wanted to start off with a couple of recent policies. You wanted the price of petrol lowered, and National have suggested lowering it. Does that please you?
Well, no, I want the GST off petrol because it's mainly a tax on a tax, and it doesn't go to roading, it goes to the general fund, the consolidated fund, and therefore it would have no impact on infrastructure development. And it would bring down certain prices, consumer prices, groceries and things like that there. And with the price going through the roof, it's the least the government should do.
Okay. The other thing, I was at Business New Zealand, and you were very insistent on bringing minimum wages up. You thought that was a better way to solve the problems of people on low pay than tax cuts. Which party do you think would be better for you there?
Well, let's get it clear. I mean, what I said was, and that came out of the business forum, that the reason why people were leaving New Zealand, and they agreed, was because of low wages and working conditions. That's why they're going to Australia, for higher wages and more meaningful jobs. And so to address that, we need to increase business profitability by cutting business taxation to 30% and begin to raise the minimum wage so that we keep our best and brightest here.
Okay, well, just on the minimum.
Now, on that score, I mean, you have to look at what happens at the end of either Labor or Nationals regime if it was put in place. Well, the tragedy is we'll still be a low-wage economy. We'll still lose our best and our brightest, and we'll still lose a whole lot of skilled people, and that's why we've got the huge skills deficit that we as an economy suffer from.
Sure. When you were in coalition with National, the minimum raise was raised slightly, wasn't it? But not very
much. It was. In that first year we raised the minimum wage, yes.
But I was chatting to Wayne Mapp, and he says National have no intention whatsoever of raising the minimum wage in the next term.
That's tragic because they're not addressing one of the underlying conditions for our loss and exodus of trained, skilled, tradespeople and bright graduates. One in four is leaving for that reason.
Okay. Well, Labor have actually raised the minimum wage, so is that more in keeping with your policy of raising the minimum wage, but then they're more union-friendly? And I didn't really quite... What is your position with unions? Are you going to roll back union legislation, or...?
Well, all industrial legislation should be impartial and neutral as between employer and employee. It shouldn't favour either side. That's the key to durable industrial relations legislation. And that's what New Zealand needs. It doesn't need the cataclysmic shifts every 3 years or every time the government changes. But to come back to my point, Labor has raised the minimum wage, it's true. But they have not raised it nearly far enough to compete with other economies such as Australia. And the only way they can do that is make business far more profitable, cut business taxes. Neither of the old parties offer that.
Sure, well, but when you were last in coalition, the minimum wage didn't rise that much, so how would you be able to achieve that particular policy with National when...
Well, actually, it did rise significantly, if you have a look at it. As a percentage, it was a significant rise.
Right, well, most of the time, I think in the entire time of the 90s, it rose 80 cents, so it must have been the 80 cent rise.
That's right.
Okay, just getting on to Labor, though, you seem to have something against their social engineering. Do you mean the civil union bill? What specifically social...
Well, the prostitution bill, the civil engineering bill, what I call anti-family legislation which they have not got a mandate for, have never been to the public on, and it's really part and parcel of a very narrow focus of a minority in their caucus, in my view, and certainly a minority in the Labor Party itself.
So a lot of your voters or constituents that are retired, how does this social engineering affect their wallets or the actual quality of life?
Well, they have a view about New Zealand, the Kiwi way, how society should be structured. It's an important view, and they should be listened to like every other section of society. They shouldn't just be ignored.
Well, I'm not saying that, but I'm just wondering how it actually affects their life. I mean, wouldn't their life be better off under some of Labor's policies and Nationals?
Well, yes, but if your policies are perceived and are actually anti-family, and then we're talking about families now, in which the grandparents are a key component, and that's how it affects those families, and they don't see themselves just as one group of mum and dad. They see themselves as mum, dad, and grandchildren, and that has been the human way for a long, long time. I don't think we should corrode that.
Okay, a couple more policies. Market rents for state house tenants. What do you think of National's latest moves to sort of even out the rents?
Well, the problem with that is that significant numbers of people will not be able to afford a rental house, particularly when you're competing with this huge immigration market of 48,000-50,000 per year coming in and most going to Auckland. It'll be extraordinary difficult in Auckland for a number of New Zealanders to compete with that.
Well, that's going to affect a lot of people that probably are going to be voting for you. How are you going to stop that happening?
Well, you've got to have a far more sympathetic new house start programs for families. That's what we have, the country, built a great reputation on. It's a reputation that's been corroded in the last 15 years, but nevertheless remains a fact. We used to pride ourselves in being a property-owned democracy, and we have got to restore our wealth as an export nation to enable us to afford to fund the people into their first home to give them a start.
So the KiwiSaver, you support the KiwiSaver, or you don't support the KiwiSaver?
Yeah, I do support the KiwiSaver. I support every saving initiative that has been put in place, because whilst it's not a comprehensive and adequate enough savings program, it nevertheless is better than nothing.
Okay, what about withdrawing from Kyoto? What's New Zealand First's position there?
Well, I think that the government has been totally premature with respect to Kyoto. The analysts have got it wrong. We don't see why we should be paying out $500 million a year, $500 million to other economies, and particularly like Russia, when we could actually plant hundreds of thousands of trees in a targeted decades tree planting program that would be economically sound for this country, be employment sound, and would be environmentally sound. We could meet any international obligation doing that first and keeping the money ourselves.
Okay, back to Labor. You described the Working for Families as welfarism. That scheme does work in a number of other countries like Australia. So why exactly is it welfarism, and what would you...
Well, when you see politicians with five kids on a welfare top-up, you've got to realise that something's gone wrong with this program.
So what would be your suggestion, and why is it welfarism in other countries where it's similarly targeted?
Well, but you see it in Australia, it is targeted to the more lower income, and they have a much more higher wage bracket, a salary bracket, so that people can be independent of the state. That's important.
Okay, well, which do you think then is the best? Do you think across the board tax cuts, or would you like to see Working for Families targeted to lower income families and more?
Well, but it's not that choice, because no one's against tax cuts. New Zealand First is for tax cuts. I want to know, though, that we can deliver tax cuts, as we did in the budget of 1998. At $1.1 billion of tax cuts in that budget, that we can deliver tax cuts and yet ensure that we don't have 180,000 people climbing, and I figure climbing on our hospital waiting lists. So there's a lot of problems with some of the proposals I see out there now, because whilst we're for tax cuts, I want to know that they can be delivered without a massive surplus.
Okay.
Without a massive deficit.
Now, you did set against state-owned enterprise sales, aren't you? I noticed that United Future seemed quite keen on selling part of state-owned enterprises, and they look like a very likely coalition partner with National. How would you prevent that?
Well, their policy is to sell 40% of state-owned enterprises. That's not the total number, but within any state-owned enterprise, sell 40% of it. The problem with that, they don't seem to understand that anything beyond 25-26% in the company can get and an outside minority interest can gain significant control. That's been the record of capitalism, and most people in industrial and commercial law know that.
They seem to think it's going to be mum and dad Kiwi shareholders. Do you think that's rather naive?
Well, it's naive, and I don't know of any country in the world that follows that policy.
Okay, I'll follow it up. National, say they have United Future as a coalition partner. What's to stop United Future twisting National's arm and saying, if we're going into coalition, what about selling 40% to state-owned enterprises? How would you work with confidence and supply to that sort of arrangement?
Well, we have made it clear that the governing party can govern by itself without needing those sorts of Klingon coalition partners.
Well, they might need United Future, actually, if you looked at the latest poll today. United Future National, with your support, would get National in.
Well, that doesn't make them a governing party with United Future. The votes aren't enough. We've made it very clear that they don't have to whether they're the government of Labour or government of National, take on board extremists.
Well, when you said extremists, though, you mentioned the Greens on the left and ACT on the right, and you never mentioned United Future, so this is why I'm asking that question.
Well, I just believe that they weren't going to get enough votes to be a bigger... in the equation.
So, just to get that out, do you mean the governing partner, do you mean, say Greens and Labour had slightly more than just National, do you mean blocks or do you mean parties?
No, I made it very clear I did not mean blocks. I don't know, I'm sorry that the media just cannot seem to read clear English. I'm not criticising you, but I made it very clear that it wasn't blocks, it wasn't pre-organised behind the taxpayer combination. It was which of the two parties, Labour and National, National and Labour, got the most votes? They got the most seats, rather.
In that case, would you agree that National's running a better campaign to get your support, considering they seem to be trying to crush the minor parties, whereas the Greens are being assisted by Labour?
I'm not commenting on that people's campaigns, so I'm sticking to ours.
Okay, just wrap it up there. What about the last question, removing the Maori seats?
This could go horribly wrong if one doesn't understand that for a lot of Maori, particularly old Maori, the Maori seems to have been a sort of stake in democracy since 1867. They have not sort of cottoned on to how much it's been transformed by MMP since 1996. And they don't realise just how much the forecasts or predictions of the Electoral Commission, pre-MMP, about the ability of MMP to deliver far fairer and better representation has in fact occurred. We need to begin a dialogue after this election to demonstrate to Maori that there's no need for a separate franchise. But no one has begun that dialogue at all. And the sooner it starts, the better. That's the way to handle it. Because right now, I predict about 42% of those people entitled to be on the Maori roll are not. They're on the general roll. That's not too far from 50%. But the dialogue has never happened. It should happen rather than to go about it in a blunderbuss way, which some in politics suggest.
Right. Peter Dunn's kicked up a bit of a stink, but he told me a week or so ago that it definitely wasn't a United Future bottom line. I just want to be absolutely clear. Is it a New Zealand First bottom line, or will you just try and engage in dialogue personally?
Well, the question on Maori seats has been our line and no one else's until after 2002. We didn't run on the Maori seats in 2002. National and the other parties did. My point is that we believe in a single franchise, a single electoral system, and we've strongly advocated for it. And I believe we can achieve it by demonstrating that the MMP works for Maori and demonstrating that there's no need for a separate guaranteed Maori seat franchise.
But do you agree with the largely Pākehā party, which is National, just legislating to get rid of them? And would that be a bottom line to stop that?
Our approach on that issue is to say, well, look, you're the ones who have told our approach on this issue. Perhaps you should listen to the people who might know more about how this policy would be received than yourselves, as evidenced by the percentage of people in New Zealand First as MPs who've got some Maori in them, and take up some wise counsel. That's what I recommend that they do, rather than to try and use this as a ploy to gain votes now, on which they might regret their approach legislative route in the future.
Okay, and then finally, Ron Mark works quite well with Mark Alexander, but Mark Alexander last week sort of slammed your approach as making you a poodle party. How would you feel being the poodle party?
I'm afraid Mr. Alexander is just trying to repeat a comment that I have made about United over the last few years, when they have allowed, as a family party, prostitution, so-called prostitution reform, civil union, and everything else to happen. Now, that's a big difference, and he's making a comment, but he's not serious.
But what if there was Deputy Prime Minister Peter Dunn advocating selling state-owned enterprises, and you were assisting them with confidence and supply? Would that not be the same?
Well, that's not going to happen. Either scenario that you said, that's not going to be happening, you see. I don't really want to deal with hypotheticals.
Who do you enjoy drinking with more there? Or going out and
partying? I'm not asking that sort of questions.
Okay, well, you know, have parties here. You have parties around Parliament.
No, I don't have parties around Parliament.
No, I mean national parties. The National Party has a party at the end of the parliamentary year.
Well, we don't go. I haven't been to them.
Okay, but lots of your staff go there. There's no group.
No, they don't. Maybe I remember my staff does, but I'm not aware of lots of my staff do.
Oh, well, I won't be able to judge coalition negotiations on parties around Parliament there.
No, you won't.
Cool. Thanks very much, Winston.
Thank you. Cheers. Mate. Bye.